kingdom of God is the church on earth. Here imperfect, there perfect. And as a seed, a small seed can grow into a marvellous tree like an oak tree or a beautiful elm tree or a conifer, so that the church at the end of time will be the kingdom of God and Christ will be the king and Mary the Queen Mother, which makes the church a royal family here on earth. And our Lord uses figurative language to help us understand how this kingdom exists and its mode of operation. The kingdom of God is like a pearl, it is like a treasure, and it is like a dragnet. Firstly, a dragnet. Notice other people haul in the net. You're here largely because other people have influenced you, or as a child brought you to this church or some church to be baptized. Often it's because of somebody else's example that we have come to belong to God's church, God's family. And notice too that in this dragnet there's a variety, all kinds of creatures. So too within the church there are all kinds. In fact, the word Catholic means universal, not one kind but all kinds can belong to God's family, irrespective of your age, your gender, your background, where you've come from, how rich you are, what you're doing. If you are disposed and you seek God's will and comply with his will, you can belong to his family. So that's the first analogy or metaphorical language by which we can believe and understand that we belong to God's church, God's family, in the sense of a dragnet. The second is the treasure. We have the faith. We have a belief in God, but we don't often value that belief until we discover it at some time in our life. Often people grow up and they have a certain mode of operation. They get used to their habits, perhaps praying daily or going to church. But then there comes a moment in their life when they discover the depth of their faith. They really begin to value it. Somewhat like finding a treasure on your land. And then it changes everything. And you don't find this treasure on your land, this treasure chest buried into some place, by accident. It just doesn't happen by chance. Chance or luck are notions that belong to the pagan era. When Christianity entered the world, they eradicated that notion. Things just don't happen. Chance, luck, is for those people who don't believe in God. We have a loving Father who provides for us. So when something just happens, don't say, oh, I was lucky. Say, it was meant to be. It was part of his plan. That was, in a way, going to happen. In other words, realise that God is in control and things just don't happen without his willing it. Like chance doesn't just happen. God wanted it to happen. And that's well depicted in great classical literature, like, for example, J.R. Tolkien in Lord of the Rings constantly uses that language. It was meant to go this way. It was meant to happen. It just didn't happen by chance. The third metaphorical term or phrase for the kingdom of God is the pearl. The pearl. That's different to the other two because the pearl is found because someone's striving to find it. Just not meant to be, like the treasure, it was meant to be, it meant to be found. The dragnet, other people find us, but in this case, we're making the effort. We are on a quest. We're searching for something. And that something becomes everything. Because the pearl is the presence of God, Christ, within. And that's our quest in our whole life. There's only one tragedy at the end of your life, not to find God. And if you don't find God, it's the absence of God. It's either heaven or hell. And every day, in some way, we're making choices and we need to strive constantly to seek his presence. The pearl is priceless. The presence of God is priceless. And so often we can take his presence for granted. Just because we're baptized doesn't mean we're guaranteed entrance into his kingdom. We can forfeit that great pearl within. We can lose it or squander it. Take, for example, the first reading about Solomon. Solomon was the son of David. David was meant to build the temple in Jerusalem. We recall that David reigned for 40 years. God blessed him. And he brought the presence of God into his midst through the Ark of the Covenant. And then God said, I want a house to dwell in. But then eventually God said, but you're not going to build the house, David, because you've shed too much blood. My house will be a house of prayer. And therefore, your son, Solomon, will build my house. And Solomon, as you've just heard in the reading, was wise from a very young age. He found that God's presence within through wisdom was of great value. And Solomon would reign for 40 years too, but like his father, he would fall from God's grace. At the end of his life, Solomon did build the temple, but he also squandered the presence of God within, seeking too many women. He had multiple wives, and with them he was led into not just adultery, but idolatry. And like his father too, he repented and sought God's forgiveness. The point being, he had to strive to return to God. And we need to strive to maintain the presence of God within. And therefore we need to be enthusiastic, always keen and zealous for God's presence and Christ to reign within our hearts and homes. And that just doesn't happen in a secular age, because the world out there is toxic in its culture towards God, values, belief, families, love and life. If we need to put up a buffer zone, and we do that by bringing into our homes good DVDs or books. We put people in connection with good sites on the internet so that they can learn more about their faith. We strive to maintain equilibrium in our life by keeping God in number one place. And that just needs an effort. Every day we have to keep reminding ourselves why I'm here, where am I going, and with whom. In other words, how can I bring others into the presence of God and help them realize that the pearl of priceless value is the presence of God, Christ within. And we can do that by encouraging people. Tomorrow, we have the feast day of a tremendous saint who was encouraged by his sister-in-law. And as a result, the world was changed. His name was Ignatius of Loyola. He was a knight. He was a military commander working his way up through the ranks. He had ambition. He had ability. He had talent. But a cannonball at the Battle of Pamplona broke his leg, smashed it. In fact, they thought they might need to amputate. But eventually they broke it again to reset it, because he thought it might not be, it might be short, he couldn't actually be a military leader and walk around with a limp. And the doctors botched the job, so they had to break it again. So it was broken once by the ball, cannonball, then twice by the surgeons, and he was recuperating for months, convalescing while it healed. And he was bored completely out of his brain, not having any form of technology like we have today. He was reliant on books, and his sister-in-law brought him a book on the lives of the saints. Reluctant at the start, he eventually read it, and that book changed his whole life. Why should I be a soldier in the company of kings when I can be a soldier in the company of the King of Kings? And hence he sent up the Jesuits, the Society of Jesus, the Company of Jesus, soldiers on the march in a warfare, a spiritual warfare for God. The Jesuits transformed the 16th century, brought about the Counter-Reformation, and today still are a force in the world. In fact, our Pope is a Jesuit. It all began with a book given to Ignatius by his sister-in-law. She was enthusiastic, she was zealous for her faith in the priceless pearl. May we be likewise.